السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. قال الله تعالى في الفرقان الحميد: كل المؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم. صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وآله. My noble audience, by the grace of Allah Almighty, for the last few weeks we have been discussing the eye, and I made mention a few weeks ago that basically there is one gate that the men have to protect and there's one gate that the women have to protect, and if they can protect their gates, inshallah they will be safeguarded from many, many wrongdoings. So basically the gate for the men is the eye, and the gate for the women is the tongue. I thought that we would wrap up the discussion pertaining to the eye in 1 week, but it has taken a few weeks, and basically I'm still thirsty, so I need to address a few more fine details pertaining to the eye, and then inshallah next week we will speak about the second gate, and this is the gate known as the lisan, the tongue. Now we have made mention of the harms of the eye, and at the same time I would like to add to that the benefit of the eye. So this can be very, very destructive, but at the same time it can be very, very constructive and productive. Now basically we are the owners of ourselves. Allah has given us authority over our own body, and every ability that we have, we can use it destructively or constructively. That's up to us. مثبت انداز سے یا منفی انداز سے وہ ہماری مرضی. So we have made mention of the harms of the eye, that if we use the eye destructively, it will destroy us spiritually, it will destroy us physically in this temporary world, and it will do exactly the same in the life to come. So the wise decision and the wise choice is that we try to use this eye productively. And if we do, there are so many benefits. Think about it. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that if you look at your parents with love, if you look at your parents with love, for each glance you get one hajj, the reward of one hajj. Now this is the benefit of the eye. With the same eyes we place our eyes on the Quran, we look at many things that are permissible, and not only permissible but have a lot of spiritual and physical benefit for us. So basically a lot of people, they use the grape. Now we eat the grape, it is delicious, it is tasty, and it is nutritious. But some people, they use the grape in a manner that they turn it into wine. So it's upon the person how he uses the grape. It can be productive or it can be destructive. Now as men, we have to acknowledge that we do find ourselves very, very weak in the legs when it comes to the eyes. It's very, very hard for us to control. Even if we put our mind to it and we say that I'm not going to look at something that is haram, and let me make mention that looking at something that is alive, or even looking at something that is dead, or looking at a picture that ignites the carnal desires, is haram. So many a times a person, he's looking at a magazine. Now it is a nude photo. First of all, he should not be looking at it. And let's say it's not a nude photo, it's a photo of a female that is basically attractive. Now this looking will cause harm. And I would like you to look at this entire topic in the light of harm. Haram and halal, let's put that to the side. It is harmful. Because a person, he knows that if something is harmful, he tries to abstain from it. I would like you to look at all wrong as harmful. Aap galti kare Allah ko kya? You commit to something that is wrong, no benefit to Allah, no harm to Allah. Basically, through His infinite mercy, He has informed us that these are certain actions that if you commit to them, there will be harm to you, no one else. Allah has given a set of laws by which we can live the best life. Everyone is going to live. May it be 60 years or 70 years, everyone is going to live with faith, without faith. Everyone's going to live. Whatever lifespan has been designed for a person, he will live that lifespan. But Allah Almighty has sent set of laws by which we can extract the best from that lifespan. So nowadays, human beings have made thorough study upon food, upon the diet. And nowadays they say so many calories per day, your body can endure it. More than so many calories, it's going to be excess. You're going to put on weight. It is going to open up many, many sicknesses. So basically, Allah Almighty, through His infinite mercy, and Nabi Akreem Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, through His teachings, has informed us of our spiritual diet, how much our spirit can endure, and what is excess, and how to address the excess. So basically, if one person was to, and I take the eye, and I gave this, I was thinking how to give this example, and whilst I was studying early in the morning, this example came to my mind. So you go to the shop, and you say that you want a slice of bread. A slice of bread. Let's say it's 200 grams of bread. Now, attached to it is the kilojoules, the calories. So say if you take this one bread, it is 100 calories. 100 calories. Then you look to your left and you find a cake. Now the cake may be smaller in size than that bread. It may be 150 grams, not 200 grams. Not 200 grams, say the bread was 200. This is 150 grams. But the kilojoules are 3,000. Then you find that there's another item sitting there. A chocolate cake, full of sugar. That is only 100 grams, but it has 5,000 kilojoules. Or 5,000 calories. Let's say 5,000 calories.
Whoa.
So basically, people have studied foods. And they have come to understand the impact of the foods upon the human body. Now, there is no one that can make a study of the impact of wrong upon the soul. No one can make that study. There's no gadget, there's no tool. There's no gadget and there's no tool. Allah Almighty knows that this wrong will have a certain reaction upon the soul. And basically the eye holds the most calories for the men. The most calories for the human soul. So this is one glance, maybe 5,000 calories to the soul. It is excess, excess. So it is most important that we address this. Don't take it lightly. But at the same time, we find that we've got this strong, strong inclination towards looking at living objects and even faces on paper. Many a times we will stand or we'll go to the clinic. And we're sitting down and we pick up a magazine with an innocent heart. We pick up the magazine and we go through the magazine, we're studying it, and then we come across many, many images. Now basically, if the lust and the carnal desire is activated, this innocent episode will be 5,000 calories to the soul, excess. And those that are sport personnels, athletes, you ask them how many hours you have to commit to a vigorous exercise to shed the excess calories. Sometimes the hours they make mention of is ridiculous. Hot chocolate, maybe 1,000 calories, and you have to run on the treadmill for 30 minutes to shed 300 calories. You go, what? Half an hour running, I'm puffing, I've got nothing left in my tank, and I'm only shedding 300 calories, and in 2 minutes I drank, let's say, 1,000 calories. We have to treat the human soul exactly the same. We have to treat it exactly the same. You know what happens is, and I was studying, Ibn Jawzi, rahimahullah, say something amazing. He says, when it comes to the human body, if a person abuses it for a little time, he can see it straight, he can see it after a little time. So let's say he's eaten something that he should not be eating, or he's eaten excess. He can stand on the scale after 1 week and he can realize, I shouldn't be doing this. 1 week he can realize, I shouldn't be doing this. And he will change his diet. But the soul is very, very, very different. It has a capacity, a much larger capacity for sin and for good. That's why Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha used to say, I used to stand up all night and I was not satisfied in winter nights. She used to complain at Fajr and say, Ya Allah, the nights are too short. So she used to start from Isha, finish at Fajr, and her vessel of spirituality was not satisfied. She said, I need more, the nights are very, very short. So basically the soul has great capacity. You can put a lot of good in it, and it has the ability to take a lot of wrong. So by the time we realize that, whoa, I've given so many wrong calories to the soul, by the time we realize, we have become obese. Spiritually we have become obese. So that's why they say, لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا. Do not consider any good to be insignificant. And the same rule applies to the opposite. Do not consider any wrong to be insignificant. Because taking any wrong lightly is basically the first step of destruction. So we need to, as men, we need to be very, very mindful what we are looking at. Now, one thing I would like to make mention that will assist us. Indeed, if we go out, we can't control the environment. We can't. If I go to the beach, I can't control the environment at the beach. But there's one thing that I can do. I can control myself. I can choose where I should be. I can control myself. I can select my own environment. I can select my own environment, choose my own environment. Why do I place myself at the beach where there's nudity and when I know that I'm going to look? So one person can say, Ya Allah, I went to the beach to look at your qudra. The water, the qudra. The beauty was on display, mashallah, marvelous. But Ya Allah, I looked to my right and I looked to my left and Allahu Akbar. I couldn't control my eyes. Allah will say, Udhar gaye kyun the aap? Why did you go there? There were many other places where you could observe the qudrat of Allah without compromising your faith. Compromising the opening of your gate. I call this the gate, not the door, the gate. We are in control of our environment. Now if one person goes to the beach and he can control himself, go. Go for surfing. Swim there, go with your family. Or find a quiet spot. But you are your own judge. If you know that you go, then your eye is making tawaf. And you can't control it. And the eye takes control over you. Then you should not be there. Some people, youngsters say to me, Imam Sahib, can we go to the city and have a cup of coffee? I said, go. Islam doesn't say don't enjoy your life. Enjoy your life. Have a good cup of coffee. Then they say, Imam Saad, there's a lot of haram around it. They bring this second. There's a lot of haram around it. I say, what day are you referring to? They said a Friday night. So they want to go for a coffee to the city Friday night. It's like placing themselves in fire and then asking the Imam, what is the therapy? What is the method of not being burnt? Imam Saab, I'm going to sit in fire. Tell me a way to sit in fire while I do not get burnt. It's not going to happen, brother. Choose an environment. Even when we go for shopping, there are certain days where our elders of the community, they get the pension. I think it is a Thursday. We don't go shopping for Thursday in the daytime because there's long, long queues. So we try to find another day when it is not busy. That is for shopping. Why do we want to go to a certain place when it is busy? It is buzzing with haram. There's a buzz. And we go in there and say, Imam Saab, I'm going to check how strong I am. You're not strong. You're going to fall prey. You're going to drop. So keep in mind, the environment is in our hand. We are in control of ourselves. Control yourself. Enjoy life. I'm not saying don't go to the beach, but find a quiet time. The water is for everyone. The scene is for everyone, but try to find a quiet time. Now keep in mind, Surah A'raf, Surah number 7, verse number 17. Allah Almighty makes mention of the statement, one of the final statements that was made by the devil before he was kicked out from Jannah. ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. Now basically, the devil, our enemy, he says to Allah that I will attack the human being from in front, from behind, from the right, from the left. So there were two directions that he did not speak about. Basically, he was not given the ijazah, the permission to attack from two directions. So there are six directions: below, above, right, left, front and back. Shaitan made mention of the surrounding, but he did not make mention of the ground, and he did not make mention of above. So one of the ways that we can address not opening the gate to many, many wrongs is that we can walk looking at the sky. Now I want you to depict yourself walking, looking at the sky. So most probably many of us will end up in the hospital. Maybe broken nose, fell on the ground, looking up, it looks silly as well, so we can't look up and walk. So the most reasonable selection is looking at the ground. And this is the meaning of the verse, the principal verse pertaining to the eye. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Lower your gaze. Look at the ground and walk. So when a person is praying, and a lot of people say, if we're looking at the ground and we're walking, we're going to bump into somebody. No. What do the fuqaha say? When you establish prayer, the person who wants to walk in front of the person that is praying, he should walk from three lines beyond. Three lines. So even if a person is looking at the ground, his vision will include three lines. It will be inclusive to three lines. So anything beyond three lines, basically he has no vision of that. Not even that subtle, weak vision. So if a person is looking at the ground, and he's walking, he will not bump into anything. Now, I would like to make mention here. The face of a lady, or the face of a man, is not something that is haram. But what is haram is what follows. So Islam has closed the door to the probable haram. So a lot of people say in the workplace, we have to look at the women. So they say that we are talking. Now if we look at the ground and we're talking, the people get upset. They say, what are you hiding? Because not looking into the eyes is a form of guilt. So if you're looking at the ground and the customer is in front of you, they say, who are you talking to? What's going on? Why are you not looking at me? So basically, if we look, then you are the mufti of your heart. Whenever you find that the look is injected with lust and desire, then you have to have that strong ability to turn away. Ruju ila Allah, turn towards Allah, ask Allah for forgiveness, and then return back. But what we find is that many a times, that raju ila Allah, that U-turn does not take place. That look goes to the next level, the third level, the fourth level, and a person forgets that there's no U-turn. It's like an American highway. Once you miss the exit is very, very far away. In America, when you're on the highway, the exit doesn't come. So you miss one exit, the next U-turn is maybe about 20 miles away. So we find that if a person looks and he finds that his inside is being corrupted by that look, that fatwa, that rule in Raju ila Allah doesn't take place, he doesn't have time to make that U-turn. He can't find the exit. Does it make sense? Now I'm going to make mention of the formula and conclude this topic. Whoa. The conclusive statement pertaining to this topic. Now this ayat is very, very well known in the Muslim world. It's known as Ayat-e Kareema in many, many countries. So can I get a nod? Ayat-e Kareema? La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. Now my Shaykh Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib, his mentor, Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi, he derives a very special point from this ayah. Now this ayah is from Surah Anbiya, Surah 21, verse number 87-88. Hazrat Jonah, Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, as we all know, was swallowed by the whale. And he remained in the whale for, let's say, 3 days, 3 nights, according to one tafsir. And what dua did he make? They said, La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. Basically, Ya Allah, there is none worthy of worship but you, and you are above all the evil that they associate with you, and verily I am from the wrongdoers. So Allah granted him exit after this dhikr, after this ayat-e kareema. And then Allah says in the following verse, وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that this is how we give freedom to the believers. We grant them a safe passage. Now basically, this ayat al-kareema, are we going to recite it when we are swallowed by a whale? So as Yunus alayhi salam was in the whale. So he recited the ayat al-kareema and Allah granted him an exit. And then Allah says, وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, this is how we give najat, freedom to the mu'mineen. Now basically, are we going to find ourselves in the identical situation where we stand and then a whale comes, swallows us, and we go into the stomach and then we say, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimeen, and after 72 hours he spits us out? No. So basically what it means is that the whale was a home of darkness. The darkness of the ocean, the darkness of the night, and the darkness of the belly in which the Prophet was residing for 72 hours. So basically, when we are confronted by wrong and we find ourselves that we can't exit, we are in the darkness of that wrong. Recite Ayat-e Kareema. Just like as a Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam recited Ayat-e Kareema, Allah granted him exit. When we find ourselves in any theater that is overwhelming, overpowering, ittuna, attractive gunaywa, it is so attractive, the sin, and we can't pull away. So a lot of people say that we are addicted to pornography. Allah protect us all. But if one person is addicted, he can't pull away from it. Yes, I can't pull away from it. You can't pull away from it. But Allah can pull you away from it. تو کرو, ask Allah, لا الہ الا انت سبحانک انی کنت من الظالمین, یا اللہ I'm from the wrongdoers, I have wronged myself, you are the one that I worship, you are the one that has the ability, یا اللہ give me an exit from the darkness of this theater, the darkness of this arena. So keep this dhikr as a permanent dhikr, a permanent statement that we make. Not only, now we've run out of time, not only when we are confronted, but even in times of prosperity. When I say prosperity, in the times of a'mal salihah, make this dhikr in abundance. So without even activating the mind, when a person is confronted, what we have been saying in the past comes to our tongue, comes to our mind when we are confronted. So my noble brothers and dear sisters listening, control the gate. The gate, the eye. And if we can control this eye, inshallah we will control many smaller doors that open towards theaters that are not productive, rather they are very, very destructive. Now, we've been speaking about the eye for the last 3-4 weeks. I want a very strong one statement from everyone. Inshallah, if you say inshallah, if you not yet, if you say inshallah, Allah will assist you. Now I ask you, inshallah we're going to protect this gate?
Inshallah.
Yeah, that's good. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.